Amen. So we're going to start in Revelation 5 and verse number 11. The scene is the scene of these two chapters, Revelation 4 and 5, is the throne room of God and activity that's going on in heaven. Angelic activity, God sitting there on his throne, 24 elders all around. It really is an awesome scene, well worth your time to just read it. We can't even imagine how wonderful this is, but we're given a glimpse. So this is part of the angels and what they're singing and what they're saying in that throne area. Verse number 11. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and as such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lived forever and ever. Just an incredible scene, incredible picture that should come to your mind when you hear those words. It's basically a glimpse of worship in heaven. We spent half an hour or so worshiping God. We're somewhere maybe 70 people or something like that. This is talking about a scene where there are over a million angels saying with a loud voice. It makes that clear. Saying with a loud voice. And they're singing the very words that we sang. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We're just acting. We're just doing a lot of what's going to be happening and is happening in heaven right now. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Earlier in this chapter, it talks about the Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah, the Lamb that was slain. It's really a beautiful thing. What's so interesting about these verses to me is that they're saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and honor and riches and glory. All these things, power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And when I think about that, and when you might think about your own thoughts on this subject, but these are the things that people seek after in this world. This is what people seek after. This is if you ask people what their dreams are, what their goals are, what they strive for in life, it will probably end up on this list in some form or fashion. People seek after power. They seek after riches. That's why everybody wants those good jobs. They seek after blessing. They want things to go smoothly. They want to increase. They want to be fruitful in whatever it is, if it's a job or family or relationships. They want blessing. People love to have health, strength, and honor. No one wants to be made low. Everybody wants some form of honor and be deserving of honor. Everybody wants these things. This is the list of categories. This is the categories of things that people want. And somewhere in there, you probably fall into that as well. We want these things. It's just natural. Blessing and honor and glory and power. And the thing that's so interesting about this is that it says that it's given to the Lamb who was slain. It's given to the Lamb who was slain. In this world, we have a way of obtaining all of these things. But it's not through being a lamb. And it's certainly not through being a lamb that gives up everything in life. The world tells you to gain all these things, you have to do almost exactly the opposite of being a lamb. If you want power, the world tells you that you have to step on others, you have to connive, you have to manipulate, you have to do all kinds of things to get up in the ranks. You have to do all kinds of things. Many of them might be slightly immoral. Some people walk that fine line. Some people are way over the line of being of what's moral, just to obtain power, just to obtain riches. They'll lie, they'll deceive others, they'll cheat others, they'll swindle others. Some people that's part of their job description almost. They have to make things look as though they're not, so that they could sell products. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is given all of these things for being a lamb. For being a lamb that was slain. For those of you who might not remember the Old Testament picture, the lamb that was slain is a picture of a sacrificial lamb. A lamb that gives up his life for someone else. The lamb is not necessarily, the lamb doesn't have any sin, but the lamb has to give his blood as a sacrifice. He has to be killed for a sacrifice so that someone else's debt can be paid. This is the picture of who is worthy. This is the picture of who deserves all of these things that we strive so much to obtain. This is what the Bible says is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. I think it's very intentional. Very intentional that it says that worthy is the Lamb that was slain. It's not the only place in these two chapters that it says this. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. It could call Jesus many things. Worthy is the conquering king, and he is. But it doesn't say that that's why he receives all of these things. All of the things that we strive after, the Bible says they're given to Jesus because he was the lamb that was slain. You see, in God's economy, God works things very differently than we do. We think, and we have example after example of people in this world that get ahead because of doing the exact opposite. Instead of being lambs, they seem to be ravenous wolves, wanting to take everything in their path, destroy everything in their path. If you get in my way, I'm going to mow you right over. You probably work with people like that. You get to go back to your job tomorrow and work with people like that. And the Bible says God gave to Jesus all the things that we strive after because Jesus was the Lamb. The Lamb meaning he gave his life. The more he gave, the more he got. The more he gave, the more he was worthy to receive all the things that we strive after. It's a very different way of thinking of things. It's a very different concept. But instead of striving as hard as we can in as many ways as we can, trying to jockey and position and put ourselves in the right light and in front of the right people at the right time, the Bible says Jesus is worthy of it all because he gave it all. Because he was not selfish at all, he was actually self-sacrificing. He gave his life for others. And because of that, he is worthy. And that is our example. That is our example of what heaven rewards. Heaven rewards unselfishness. Heaven rewards people who give their lives for others. Heaven rewards those characteristics. Not the ones that are so wanted in this world, but those that are wanted in heaven. Extremely different. The Bible even tells us, Jesus makes that statement, that he who loses his life in this world will gain it. This is another way of saying the Lamb is worthy. If you lose your life as the Lamb lost his life in this world,
then you will find it. But he who wants to keep his life, he who wants everything for himself, he who wants to do things my way and only my way, he's the one who loses it in eternity. It's kind of like this best kept secret, or one of the best kept secrets. By trying to do everything my way, get all things that I want. I want this. I want that. I would like this, and this is what I, you know, I don't care what your opinions are. I'll do what I want. And the Bible says, he who keeps his life in this world will lose it in the next. The Lamb that was slain is worthy of all power and riches and honor and glory and blessing and honor. God rewards things very different than the world rewards things. We see this over and over and over. We live in the Chicagoland area, Chicago politics. It's all based on the exact opposite of being a lamb. It's all based on the exact opposite. It's all based on who you can outsmart and who you can outdo and who you could work around and all the deals you can make. I actually have a friend that I used to work with. He was from Florida, and he said, and this was maybe 20 years ago or so, he said he used to get a cable channel that would specifically allow him to watch what was going on in the Chicago Council because it was just entertaining to him. He says, I couldn't believe the things that were actually going on. He says, this is better than any reality show. There weren't reality shows back then, actually. But this was like the start of a reality show because it's so entertaining. These guys just biting and fighting and all that stuff. The exact opposite of the lamb. But that's the world. That's the world. And God rewards the opposite of the world. And we see that God, he's looking for character in us. Selfless acts. Selfless behavior. He's looking for that. For men and women of God, he's looking for that. And we see that throughout the Bible. We see that he wants to reward all of us with all of these things, with power and wisdom and honor and strength and blessing. He wants to reward all those things, but he wants us to be able to handle them. He wants us to have the character which can sustain it. He wants us to have the foundation so that when he blesses us, we will not be crushed by it. Because that's what happens. I actually think that many people, this is my opinion, many people, they go into service, even in politics or other things, and they go in with a heart that is to help others. But then when the power comes, and then when the ability comes, and when the temptation comes, they don't have the character or foundation to handle it, and so they fall. They make decisions which are not good because they don't have the foundation, they don't have the character built in them to be able to do that. If you are a lamb, if you are the lamb that was slain, if you are that selfless, you will have the character that is needed. And we see God does that over and over with men of the Bible. We see it in David. We see it in David. He was anointed king when he was just a kid. Some say maybe even in his early teens. But he actually didn't come to the kingdom power until much later. Because God was working out a whole bunch of things in his life. God was working in character, and he was working out many of the bad things. It doesn't mean that David didn't do wrong, because he did wrong. Plenty of wrong. But he still had a heart after God. He still had a heart which was as God describes it, a man after his own heart. And that was worked in him. He actually went to a place where he had the ability to kill the person that was oppressing him, the person that was hunting him like a dog. And he said, I won't do it. That's character. That's selflessness. That's trusting in God. That's being a lamb. That's the characteristics of a lamb, and we see that throughout the Bible. You remember Jacob?
And Jacob was promised great blessings in the Bible. But he had this bent towards tricking and deceiving. That's what his name meant. And God had to work all that out. God worked all that out over years and years and years. And then he became a person that was ready to receive the power and riches and honor and blessing that the Bible gives to people who are worthy of it. And we could go on and on with examples. Joseph is this little kid. God promises, or he has a dream which says he's going to be great. He's going to be this leader that everybody bows down to. And he goes off and he tells his brothers, wrong move. And people are not so happy with him. In fact, they are extremely angry with him. And through a process of time and difficulties, God works all that out. He gets all that out of Joseph so that when he becomes extremely powerful, he does not take vengeance on his enemies. He does not have them killed, although he could have. And no one would have stopped him, and no one would have brought him to task, and no one would have held him accountable. It would have been fine, but instead, God worked all that anger out. God worked all that vengeance out. And now he was worthy to take the throne, or second in command of Egypt. The Bible tells us in Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, we call them the Beatitudes. We call them, you might have memorized them or read through them when you were a kid, a very common lesson. But the values and characteristics in them are not common. They are not common by any stretch of the imagination. They are actually very uncommon. When the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who are humble, blessed are those who are merciful, blessed are those who are persecuted, blessed are those who can handle people talking badly about you, blessed are those who can handle those who are falsely accused, blessed are those. That's not an easy list. That's actually not a very fun-sounding list at all. That doesn't sound very attractive. And the least, blessed are the meek. Why not blessed are those who can speak their mind whenever they want? Why not blessed are those? The Bible doesn't say anything about that. At least not in this case. There's a time for the lion, for sure. There's a time for the Lion of Judah. We sang about that, too. That's very much there. But first, you have to be proven to be a lamb. I think a lot of people want to be the lion before they show that they could be the lamb. I think a lot of people are like, yeah, well, I'll take a big heaping serving of that lion, but we'll leave a little bit for the lamb. Yeah. The lamb is not so attractive, but the lion, amen, I'm all in. But Jesus was the lamb. Jesus was the lamb as a man. There were times he was a lion. There's for sure. But much more, he demonstrated characteristics of a lamb. And I believe that's what God wants of us too. He wants us to have these characters in us. He wants us to demonstrate these things. Because the Bible tells us that there are treasures in heaven. That's in Matthew chapter 6. I'll read a verse or two of that. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. Well, that's not correct. Number 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust do destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Bible tells us that we're to store treasures in heaven. And when I was young, I used to think treasures mainly mainly things like talking to people about Christ, seeing them get saved, and those are. That's for sure. And a treasure in heaven, without a doubt, eternal souls, that's fantastic. Or other big things, you have to have some function in the church or something like that. Big things, you know, very noticeable things. And there's no doubt that they are and will be rewarded with treasures in heaven, as God knows what's going on in each person's heart. But I also think that God's looking for fruit in us, the fruit of character, the fruit of Christ being formed in each one of us. Treasures are how we act in our daily life, whether we have a place or a title in a church, which really, I'm not sure God's so impressed with those things, just lots of responsibility. But what about the character that we each have every day, or we can each show in so many of our decisions? We get to show who we are. Who is Christ in us? Is Christ being formed in us? Do we get angry for no reason? Do we fly off the handle for it? Can we forgive those who hurt us so badly? Can we respond in meekness? Are we humble, or are we always looking for credit? All these things, you take the Beatitudes and say, how does my line up? How does my life line up? And God is looking for the character of His Spirit to be formed in each one of us. Love, joy, long-suffering, peace. On and on it goes. You could pick any one of them. And God is looking to form those in us. And I believe that as we do and as we make decisions and to follow those rather than our natural senses, because our natural responses probably are very often not what the Bible says that we should do, we are storing up for ourselves riches in heaven. We are storing up for ourselves eternal riches rather than the temporary riches of this life. We are becoming, and in so many of those cases, we're becoming a characteristic, another characteristic of the Lamb. Another characteristic of the Lamb that was slain. Someone who is not selfish, looking out for self, looking out for only what I want, but looking out for others, doing what's best for others rather than myself. When we think about that statement in that verse which says, store up for yourself riches in heaven, store up for yourself things in eternity, why wouldn't we run to do all the things that are so hard for us? When we say, yeah, okay, I hold on to my pride, or I try and be a peacemaker. I hold on to my pride, or I say sorry. I hold on to what I want, or I try and make the situation a little better. Well, the one says you'll get riches in heaven. The one says, well, you'll keep your pride for a little bit. I'll take riches in heaven. I'll take riches in heaven. Keep your things of earth. We want riches in heaven. We want the crown that awaits us to be filled with the jewels that God can only give, whatever those are. He says He will reward us. That is our example. Jesus is given all the things that we strive so hard for in this life. Jesus was given all the things. And sometimes it's not just what we do, but what we don't do, what we don't allow ourselves to do. Sometimes it's the holding of the tongue, and I know that's not easy. The Bible says that whoever could hold their tongue is bridled the whole body. It says it's very hard. It says the tongue is a world of fire. I understand. That's very hard, not easy. So sometimes it's what we don't do and what we don't say which shows if we have God's character developing in us. And we do this, and we should do this regardless of who sees us. Because very often, no one will know. No one will know. No one will pat you on the back and say, you've done a great job of being humble. No one will say you've done a great job of being a peacemaker. No one will say, often no one will even know. And we do it because God sees. We do it because He's our audience. We do it for an audience of one. And that audience is God Himself, seated on the throne, recording everything that is done, rewarding as only He could reward out of His riches and glory. They might not be here on earth. In fact, very often they won't be. Because the world doesn't necessarily reward these characteristics, but God does. God does. Jesus wasn't rewarded here on this earth for having the most incredible character of anyone who's ever lived. But He was rewarded in heaven. And that's why the Bible says that we store up for ourselves riches in heaven. We don't store up for ourselves things here on this earth, but riches in heaven. That's where we want our blessing to be. Worship team, would you come on up? We're almost done. So we have a choice. We decide. We decide for ourselves. With every action, with every interaction, we decide what's important to us. Is it the things of this earth or is it the things of heaven? Is it eternity or is it the world? We decide with all that we do. We decide if we want to obtain these things that we strive after through worldly methods, or if we want to obtain them through heavenly methods in heaven. It's our choice. It's our decision. We have to just be aware that those decisions are being made whether they're conscious or not. Whether you're actively saying, I'm doing this, or whether you're not, they are being made. You're part of this, whether you know it or whether you don't. To be part of that lamb, to be part of that selfless group of people. This is what people notice, that when the Bible says that we should be a peculiar people, you be selfless and you will be a peculiar person. People will be like, I don't understand that. I don't get that. That's not normal behavior to go so far out of your way, to be so accommodating to others, to be so loving when people are not so loving back, to be so forgiving when people are just so not nice. That is the peculiar people that God is looking for. That is the one. Those are the ones that God says, yeah, they are working out, and they will be able to receive power and riches and honor and glory. I have things for them that they can't even imagine. I have things for them that will last for eternity. They're not going to be just temporary. It's not just going to be a shiny new car. It's not going to be a corner office. It's not going to be something like that which goes and comes and lasts for a couple of years. It's going to be something that lasts forever and ever and ever and does not go away. And this is what we're faced with each and every day of our life. We want to choose to store our riches in heaven rather than here on this earth. Do it for Jesus. Do it for who He is, because He died for you and He is worthy of that. He is worthy of everything given to Him in heaven. He is worthy of your life as well. He will treat it. He will be with you and He will care for you, and He promises that He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. He is faithful. And He is the God that is worthy to be served. His name be praised. If you'd all stand, the worship team will come and lead us in a final song. Would you come?